One of the great gifts of our faith as Catholics is that we are part of a great story. We're part of a remarkable story. The story that, of course, is told in Scripture, but then the story that also unfolds under the course of the thousands of years since the time our Lord has been with us. And today is one of those days when, well, we have one of the most remarkable stories in the 2,000-year history of the Catholic Church. And before I talk about the specific story of Our Lady of Guadalupe, I just want to highlight for a moment something that is striking about the Old Testament. The more you come to see and to realize who Our Lady is, the more you see her in the Old Testament in ways that you cannot if you do not fully understand that she is the Mother of God and the particular role that she has in our salvation. And so when we think of Zechariah, you need to remember this about Zechariah. He was called a post-exilic prophet. That is, he lived in the 400s before Jesus Christ. And here at this time, the land of Judah was in desolation. They had to restore, they had to renew, they had to revive the land. And there's this beautiful promise that the Lord will come and visit the land, particularly through one whom he will send. And this is how it is put. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Well, Our Lady appeared to Juan Diego for the first time on the 9th of December in the year 1531, at a time where it was very common in Mexico for terrible human sacrifices to take place. And what happened over the course of the next 10 years after the apparition, 10 million people became Catholic. 10 million people in the course of a decade became Catholic. And one of the first to convert, of course, before her manifestation, her apparition, was Juan Diego. One of the things that we are blessed with is we actually have the account of a man who lived a little bit later, but he lived in the 16th century by the name of Antonio Valerino. He was a Native American author of the 16th century. And it's because of his story, his account, that we know what we know about St. Juan Diego and what happened on the 12th of December in the year 1531. Interestingly, the dates of the week actually correspond with this time in the calendar year. What I mean by that is Our Lady actually appeared to him on Saturday, the 9th of December in the year 1531. And she said, Juan Diego, I want you to go to the bishop because I want a shrine to be built to me here. And he went, but the bishop was reluctant to hear what Juan Diego had to say. So he went back to Our Lady and said, Our Lady, I went to the bishop, but he wouldn't receive me. He wouldn't accept what I had to say. I'm not the right person for the job. Please send someone else. And on the next day, on the 10th of December, which was a Sunday, he goes for a second time because she had asked him to do so. And the bishop is still reluctant and says, I need a sign. So on the Monday, Juan Diego stays away from Tepeyac Hill. He doesn't want to go anywhere near there. But he has an uncle who is dying. And so on the Tuesday, his uncle asks him to go to Mexico City to call for the priest to come and to hear his confession. And he wants to go around Tepeyac Hill because he wants to avoid Our Lady. And as he does this, she appears to him again. And at this time, she says something very beautiful. Listen, understand, my humblest son. There is nothing to frighten or distress you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and let nothing upset you. Is it not I, your mother, who is here? Are you not under my protection? Are you not fortunately in my care? Do not let your uncle's illness distress you. It is certain that he has already been cured. Go up to the hilltop, my son, where you will find flowers of various kinds. Cut them and bring them into my presence. So here we have Antonio Valerino repeating what Our Lady said to Juan Diego. Now listen to what this account goes on to describe. When Juan Diego reached the peak, he was astonished that so many Castilian roses had burst forth at a time when the frost was severe. He carried the roses that she had mentioned in the folds of his tilma, his mantle, to the heavenly lady. She then said to him, "My son, this is the proof and the sign that you will bring to the bishop so that he will see my will in it. You are my ambassador, very worthy of trust." Juan Diego set out on his way, now content and sure of succeeding. On arriving in the bishop's presence, he told him, "My lord, I did what you asked. The heavenly lady complied with your request and fulfilled it. She sent me to the hilltop to cut some Castilian roses and told me to bring them to you in person. And this I am doing, so that you can see in them the sign you seek in order to carry out her will. Here they are. Receive them." And then the account goes on to say, he immediately opened his white mantle and all the different Castilian roses scattered to the ground. There was drawn on the cloak and suddenly appeared a precious image of the ever-Virgin Mary, Mother of God, in the same manner as it is today and is kept in her shrine of Tepeyac. This is a remarkable story, and it says something that's at the heart of Catholicism. Catholicism is a historical religion. We identify and remember things that happened in history. And if you think about this story, and if you think of the shrine that is now in Mexico City, listen to the conclusion now of our reading from Zechariah. "The Lord will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land and will again choose Jerusalem. Many nations shall join themselves to the Lord on that day." As a result of what happened in December of 1531, today probably some 9 to 10 million people will go to the shrine that is in Mexico City. One last thing to consider, the example of Juan Diego, a man of deep and profound humility, who did not in any way feel up to what he was asked to do, but Our Lady saw his heart and saw his desire to serve. May we not only follow his example, but follow the example of Our Lady herself, who, when hearing that Elizabeth, her cousin, was pregnant, went with haste to spend that time to serve her cousin. And indeed, as Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus." Is there a place in the world where that aspect of the rosary is more fully fulfilled than at the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City, where Our Lady is blessed and the fruit of her womb, Jesus, is offered on the altar countless times, well, not countless, but numerous times each day? May we be inspired by this story that is a great story, and may it fill each of us with a deeper dedication to Our Lady and to live lives like St. Juan Diego of trust and humility.